You know, I get the opportunity to introduce speakers all the time. It's fun to do this because I also get a real fun job in this organization, which is to go to other states on behalf of our national organization to represent Dr. Maurer, who can't, although I think he's going to try one year to be in every place. I don't know how he's going to do that. And he's going to try to be at every convention. He can't. So he sends asks some of us to go represent him in other places. Two weeks from now, I will be in Colorado Springs on behalf of Dr. Maurer, representing him there. But in the meantime, we have the honor today of having somebody representing our national office and bringing to us whatever he chooses on behalf of our larger organization. One of the things that we don't always understand, many of us do, but some of us don't understand, that we are the National Federation of the Blind. We are not the New York City Federation of the Blind. We are not the Buffalo Federation of the Blind or the Syracuse Federation of the Blind or the little corner of your locale Federation of the Blind. The reason we can accomplish what we accomplish is because we are the National Federation of the Blind, and we draw our strength from each other. And the unity that we have developed to do that has gotten us to where we are today. So, for whatever he cares to say for a shortened amount of time, I gave him a half hour, but he's looking at his watch the same way I was looking at mine. I want to give you a guy who has a horn just like mine. He will talk about why he has that horn, and I will also echo it. I give you the executive director of the Jernigan Institute in Baltimore, Mark Riccobono.
Look all around, yes, it's true. Faces are smiling at you. Wait till you see what we do.
There you go. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, so Carl says I get 45 minutes instead of a half hour. That's great. it's hard to follow that last act. That was really tremendous. You know, the history, the people of this organization, and the history that we carry is always exciting. It's always great to come meet folks who have been around, who have helped make things happen, who really we have the privilege of standing on top of the work that they've done. And it's always a great honor to do that. So I appreciate that presentation and also what our president said about the great state of activity here in New York. I'm really excited to see what's happening and how you all are taking leadership for the rest of the nation and showing how to tackle some of these issues. So thank you very much for what you're doing at this level, because it has impact all over the nation. I do want to send you greetings from Dr. Maurer. He is in Iowa today at our Iowa convention. I don't know if they are doing target shooting or something there, but he and Mrs. Maurer are there in Iowa doing the work of the organization. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here on his behalf. He would have loved to be here to engage with all of you. You know, there is a lot to talk about, and I think Carl, he must have been reading my notes. He laid out the demographics of the room pretty well by asking people to say how long they, you know, their age, that sort of thing. Our organization needs everybody. We need people of all ages, diversity. You know, blindness does not discriminate in that way. And we need as many people as we can, as many voices as we can in this great movement we have to inform who we are and what we do. Let me just take a minute, and you can just shout out, don't worry about saying your name. Just take a 30 seconds. What one word describes the National Federation of the Blind to you?
Empowerment.
Determined.
Self-confident.
Self-confident. Helping out people, that's three words. Advocacy, I heard independence, I heard family. Innovation, expectations.
Literacy.
Strength. Love. I love that, yeah. Chutzpah, yeah. Yeah, support, determination, limitless. So this is a good example of how there's actually a lot of ways of describing our organization. It's hard to rally around one simple idea, right? Because our organization is dynamic, it's bold, it's moving, it is something bigger than I think we can even describe. We've been wrestling with that at the national level a little bit in preparation for our 75th anniversary, which will kick off on November 16th of 2014, because that will be the 75th anniversary of the organizing of the National Federation of the Blind, our diamond anniversary. Yeah, absolutely. What do we want to do to celebrate? How do we want to make it big, bold, audacious, something that no one's ever seen before, something that helps us move our agenda forward, that helps us look forward in a dynamic way? What do we want to do?
Party.
Party, yeah, there you go. Well, we have to decide. And our first vice president, Dr. Fred Schroeder, is chairing our 75th anniversary Federation Celebration Committee. He needs to hear from you about what you want our organization to do. What big, bold thing could we do at our 2015 convention? Should we all take over Disney World for a day? Or should we race cars down I-Drive? Or, you know, what should we do to celebrate? Carl wants to fly an airplane. Maybe 75 blind people should parachute into the convention. You know what? What do we want to do? We get to decide. And that's the wonderful thing about this organization, is that we decide what we want to do, right? We don't let people tell us. We decide what we want to do, and we push the horizons of independence. And part of the way we do that, part of the way we progress, is with love. That word came up. We dream big. But we also challenge each other to go just a little bit farther than even we think we can. And we inform ourselves in all the ways that we can, so that we can have the smartest, most nimble, dynamic organization possible. And that's the message I really want to bring to you this morning about our national organization, that it is as vibrant and as active as ever. In a world that continues to change and present challenges, the Federation steps up and meets all of those challenges and, in fact, pushes back twice as hard. And that's because we can work collectively together. And in many ways, the Federation is not just changing the world for blind people. It's changing the world for everybody, for the better, not just for blind people, but for all people with disabilities. And that, of course, brings me to something that Carl already covered fairly well, and that's our effort to secure fair wages for workers with disabilities. We do not want to show up at our 75th anniversary celebration still talking about fair wages for workers with disabilities. That means we have a little bit more than a year, to get this done, right? Absolutely. So we're making great progress in the House. You might have seen that earlier this week. Well, first, let me take a step back. Does everybody understand the issue of people with disabilities being paid sub-minimum wages? Is there anybody that doesn't feel like they know what I'm talking about? Be honest. Okay, just good. Okay, so someone wants, good, thank you for being honest. So the Fair Labor Standards Act was passed in 1938, and it has a provision that's under Section 14C that permits employers to pay people with disabilities less than the minimum wage. People with disabilities are the only class of people in this country who are legally permitted to be paid less than the minimum wage. And in 1938, that might have been a progressive idea. I don't know, I wasn't there, but employment was pretty pathetic if it existed at all for blind people, right? So that might have been progressive, might have been, in 1938. But here we are in 2013. And this notion is outdated, it's unfair, it's discriminatory, and it's immoral. And it has a track record of 75 years of being exploited to a point where people with disabilities are being harmed right as we speak. We have found cases over the last couple years of people with disabilities being paid 3 cents an hour under the veil of work by nonprofit organizations who at the same time solicit charitable contributions in the name of doing good work for people with disabilities. And part of it is they just don't know. They just don't believe that there's another way to do it. It's taken us a little while to get other people with disabilities, other organizations of people with disabilities, to buy in to our vision of the future. But we now have 60 supporting organizations behind our fair wage legislation. You know, earlier, and we plant seeds very early. Earlier this week, this is where I was going to go. So our legislation would eliminate the 14C provision and create a pathway moving forward for all people with disabilities to get minimum wage or be guaranteed minimum wage. Earlier this week, Congressman Pete Sessions signed on to our fair wage legislation. And this is significant advocacy, right? Now, does anybody remember Pete Sessions for anything else? Well, you should. He was at our national convention. And he participated in our March for Independence when we unveiled the design of the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. So here we are a number of years later. And he already knows the spirit and the character of the National Federation of the Blind. But you know what? He really wants to do is cure things like blindness. He talked to us about it at the convention. And we talked to him this week about leaving the world better than you found it. And that even while we're looking to do research to provide cures and that sort of thing, because we support medical advancement, it's not right to treat the people who are here today unfairly. And he said, right at that moment, we need more leaders in Congress with that sort of moral compass to get on our bill, and we need to find them right here in New York. So if you could go out and do that, that would be fantastic. And we got to get this bill in the Senate, and we also have to guard against the Workforce Investment Act, which is being considered for reauthorization, which has Section 511, which essentially brings the practice of paying people subminimum wages into the Rehabilitation Act. It's never existed there before. So we have a lot of work to do. We need to be vigilant, but you all need to be engaged with your members of Congress here in New York because they will remember you and it will make a difference. So you're going to do it?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. I got to watch the clock here. Carl's going to pull on me. How much time do I have, Carl?
I don't know.
Okay, 40 minutes. So I want to mention a couple other big things. Earlier this year, we had a treaty that was adopted, an international treaty, because of our efforts in the National Federation of the Blind in Marrakesh, creates where we can share information, digital copies of books across borders. How tremendous is that? And that takes advocacy. So we do advocacy not just at the local, the state, the national level, but also the international level. John Paré, our executive director for advocacy and policy, is on his way right now to an international meeting in Brussels or something like that to work on the quiet car issue. We're working on a global regulation. Okay, so there's so many areas we're working on. We're working on technology accessibility and creating a standard for accessibility in technology to make sure that every technology that hits an educational institution is accessible from day one to everybody. Separate but equal has never worked, and it doesn't work for us, and we won't tolerate it. We continue to protect voting rights. Does anybody vote in this room? Absolutely. We need to start voting more, and we need the voting to be accessible. And in many states, Maryland's one, they're really interested in bringing back the paper ballot. You know, paper, it's more secure, and one vote, one person. We're not going back. We've told the state of Maryland that unless they get a machine that gives us a way of verifying that the what's on the paper is what we wanted to vote for, don't do it. And we're going to win. And we're protecting those voting rights all over the country. Now, the courts are an important place to be, and I want to talk to you about this before Carl cuts me off. We asked to be sued about a year ago. It's not often that you ask somebody to sue you. But Google got together with the universities, and they created digital copies of books in libraries, about 10 million volumes of books. They created digital copies that would be accessible to us. They put them in a holding entity called the HathiTrust. And the HathiTrust is being sued over those digital scans. We asked to be part of the defendant group so we could make the argument that not allowing blind people access to those 10 million accessible books is doing harm to blind people. And the court agreed with us. Well, this decision is being appealed, and there's going to be a hearing on October 30th at 10 o'clock in the circuit court in New York. And we need to pack the courtroom with blind people. We need blind people to be there. This is not an issue about our organization. Every single blind person should feel this is important because this is giving us 10 million books. 10 million books. That's a lot of reading to do. Don't have to worry about Bard being down when you got 10 million books. We need you to show up at the Thurgood Marshall Courthouse at 40 Foley Square. The hearing is at 10 o'clock on October 30th, okay? You should get there at 9 o'clock. There are other hearings in that courtroom that day. We want the blind people in the seats, not the lawyers. As Dr. Maurer said, you know, the lawyers, standing's good for your health. We want a lot of healthy lawyers in New York. 9 o'clock, show up, be ready. We need to fill the courtroom. We need 50 people at least. October 30th, 10 o'clock is the hearing. It's a Wednesday.
Those of you in the city, we can do that, can't we? Yeah.
10 o'clock. Be at the building at 9 o'clock because you got to clear security and that sort of thing. And I'm sure Carl or someone might distribute information about what you can and cannot bring in. The hearing is on the 17th floor. It's in room 1705. But I'm sure Carl will distribute information. We need to pack this courtroom. We need to get this done. 10 million books. And let me tell you this. We're not just content with getting 10 million books. We're going to work out a program for the National Federation of the Blind to be the secure distributor of these books to blind people. We know how to distribute content, right? So let's be the ones to distribute them to blind people, because we'll make sure that they're accessible to everybody. And that's just one of the areas that we're working on. Tremendous work happening at the national level because we have a dynamic organization. Okay, I only have 18 other things to mention. I want to mention some program stuff. We resolved that if the schools were not going to teach our kids Braille, we will teach them ourselves. And so we created the Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning program in 2008 in our Maryland affiliate. We brought it into our Jernigan Institute. We've been growing it ever since. It's a two-week intensive summer program to teach blind kids Braille and to give their parents the advocacy skills and training to make sure that the schools give them Braille when they show up in the fall. This summer, This past summer, we had 19 Bell programs, 19 states hosting Bell programs. We actually had 23 programs or so. And I'm hoping that in 2014, New York will be on the list. And this is a great federation model, right? Because you have national support, technical assistance, training, curriculum, but locally implemented with the style, flavor, and expertise that is New York. How cool is that? Now, we've been doing science, technology, engineering, and math for a decade, training for blind kids. A month ago, we were awarded a $1.5 million National Science Foundation grant to take that work to the next level and to bring the National Federation of the Blind and accessibility to science centers across the country. You're going to hear about that work going forward, the next generation of our STEM programs. We don't sit content with where we are. You already heard about Newsline. What can't you get? I'm going to see if I can get a cup of coffee ordered on Newsline later. Because you can get weather alerts, and you can get emergency alerts, and you can get the new Victor Reader Stream, which is being auctioned off, can wirelessly download your content from Newsline just by pushing a button. I mean, you can just push a button and go do your thing, and there's your, if it could just make the coffee, we'd be there, you know? Meet the Blind Month is going on right now. We have activity across the country. We need to be out in the public space. Let's be out in the public. That is how we're going to change attitudes about blindness. I want to mention a couple other things real quickly. You know that we've been working on innovative technologies for blind people to drive. And I don't know if you've read the Braille Monitor this month, but I wrote an article about Dan Parker, who's a blind guy that came and said, you know, I'd like to drive a motorcycle independently on the salt flats in Utah at, you know, 60, 70 miles an hour or something. And there might have been a time when we said, oh, this guy, he must be a stunt devil or something. But we've seen blind people drive. We know it can be done. And we said, great, let's get involved in this. And let's share our technologies and let's talk about it. And so Dr. Maurer sent me out to the salt flats of Utah. Man, what a desolate place. Yeah, you get salt on everything. It's not good for your Braille display. This blind guy, who is a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Georgia, drove a motorcycle without any assistance at 55 miles an hour on the salt flats. It's never been done before. And I was just talking to him yesterday. He says, now we're going to figure out how to drive a car at 100 miles an hour on this thing. And the thing is, Dan Parker has the spirit of the National Federation of the Blind. He wants every blind person to get this opportunity. He's not a stunt devil. He's trying to figure out how we push the horizons for us. And that's what we want to do, right? We want to push our future. We want to determine our future. And the thing that gives us the possibility of doing that is our national organization. And the best place to engage in that, to help change each other's minds, inform each other, challenge each other, and spread the love of the Federation is our national convention. And I hope that all of you are planning to be in Orlando next summer at our national convention. Orlando has been a great place for conventions. We're going to be thinking up and talking about next summer what to do for our 75th anniversary. It's kind of going to be the soft kickoff a little bit. You'll want to be there, and you'll definitely want to plan to be in Orlando for our 75th anniversary convention in 2015. Now, all of this stuff that we do, and that's just a small snapshot, takes money, right? Yeah. And we have money. We should give some of our money because it's important. But there's a whole universe of other people out there that have more money than we have. And we need their money too, right? Yeah. And one way that we can get money is by getting them to give us their old cars, trucks, airplanes, motorcycles, and turn them into cash. We have a nationwide vehicle donation program. Your friends, family, neighbors, just tell them that we have it. They don't have to do anything but call. Our team sets it up. They come out. They pick up the car. They get the title. They do all the work, and the National Federation of the Blind gets the money. On average, $500 per donation. It's a tax deduction for them. They get a nice letter. It's a tax write-off. They get rid of the old junker. And we do take anything. Boats. We'll take boats. Anybody got an airplane they want to get rid of? Seriously, we can take it. This is a huge opportunity. Why? Because people are making big money off of this who are doing nothing for anybody else. What does Heritage for the Blind do? Well, they take car donations. That's all they do. They haven't made a lick of difference in the life of a blind person. But we know that this organization that we have changes lives every day. So we don't spend our money on advertising. That's what Heritage does. That's all they do. But we have the best marketing network in the country, and that's the members of the National Federation of the Blind. Let's use it. Let's get the word out. If you happen to have a car that you want to donate, go for it. But there's thousands of other cars out there, and all we need to do is talk to people about it. We have stickers, flyers, little pamphlets. They're all here. We have more upstairs if we need to bring them down. This is a program that will help us sustain financially in the future. So please do your part to spread the word. Now, one thing I want to close with. We're doing a lot in this organization. I mentioned the Braille monitor. There are other ways to stay tuned in what we're doing. You really need to stay plugged into what we're doing because it helps us right here in New York. You know, we passed a law in Maryland on custody. We know something about it, and we'll tell you everything we know. We can also tell you that in the last year, even though we have a law, we've found two parents who are blind, who are their kids have been taken away or threatened to be taken away. One lost his daughter for 4 months or 5 months or something till we got her back. You got to stay plugged in. The Braille monitor is one way. We have hundreds of listservs. Some people were asking me yesterday, how did you send out that email yesterday when you were here? We have an e-newsletter. It goes out once a month. We need you to get on our e-newsletter. We're approaching over 20,000 people getting that e-newsletter on a monthly basis. You need to stay connected to the national organization because you might come across something that will help, and you might contribute something that's going to help the guys in Nebraska or California or Oregon or, for that matter, Maryland. The dynamic dialogue that we have with each other is important. We need to put our heart and soul into this organization because without it, our future is not as bright as we know it can be because of the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.